Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Hello. You are listening to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network, but you're not listening to Ann Saxelby this week. I'm Diane Stemple, and I'm subbing for her for a couple of weeks while she's on maternity leave. If you miss the live broadcast, you can always find us on heritageradionetwork.org, or you can get it on iTunes and Stitcher. Today's guest is Aaron Foster from Murray's Cheese, and we're going to be discussing the effect of Hurricane Sandy on New York's cheese community, which, of course, seems a little bit trivial compared to some of the severe suffering others have experienced, but to us cheeseheads, it's interesting nonetheless. Aaron, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Diane.
You're very welcome. I want to tell you a little bit about Aaron for our audience. He works at Murray's Cheese. He's been in the cheese business for 10 years. He has a very interesting food credential in that he was in the inaugural class of Slow Foods University of Gastronomic Sciences, or in Italian?
Università di Scienze Gastronomiche.
Sounds much more impressive. And he also, in college, studied philosophy and literature at the small yet prestigious St. John's College in Annapolis, Maryland. Anyway, so I'm welcoming him. He is was very involved in taking care of the cheese emergency at Murray's. And I'd like to ask you, Aaron, can you tell me exactly what happened at Murray's in the storm?
Sure, absolutely. And definitely, I know that a lot of people are still without power, and a lot of people have lost a lot. Or even their homes and loved ones. So we're definitely thinking of them and hoping that everybody gets back on their feet soon. It's been a crazy storm. I don't think the city will ever quite be the same, but we're thinking of them. So the storm was wild. It sort of came in pretty quietly. I don't think any of us expected what we got. Mm-hmm. Certainly after the last hurricane we had last year, Hurricane Irene, they had shut down the subways, and that meant that we had to shut down work and nobody went in. It was hard for anybody to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out that things went relatively benignly during that storm. No power loss. There was a little flooding, but nothing that the MTA couldn't handle. So when the storm came around, people were certainly talking about it. They were already calling it a superstorm, but we didn't really know what to expect. So we took some preparations in advance. We made sure that we had pumps running in case we had water backing up. So I don't know if you know, at Murray's Cheese, at our Bleecker Street store, we have cheese caves below the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 5 temperature and humidity controlled cheese caves, and those caves are obviously below street level. So we're always worried that we've never really had serious flooding down there, but we're always worried when you hear a hurricane is coming, a superstorm.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that things are
right,
squared away. So we had pumps set up and generators there to run the pumps in case we lost power. We were pretty, I would say we thought we were well-prepared or over-prepared.
Okay. Did you prepare more for Sandy than Irene?
Definitely. Okay. I think Irene, we really didn't understand. It was the first time that they had preemptively shut the subway down. Mm-hmm. We did have pumps running, and we'd had a couple of rainstorms running up to that point. If you remember, the ground was really saturated at that point. We'd gotten a lot of rain, so we'd already seen some limited flooding from just normal rainstorms. So we were well-prepared, I think, for Irene, but we took it seriously this time. Mm-hmm. We had the generators. We had everything we needed. We had the pumps in place.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any specific written emergency plans for flood or power loss?
Yeah, we have a sort of SOS list. If we're anticipating a power loss or we're experiencing power loss, we do have some emergency power that before everything goes down.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the refrigeration works, there's coolant flowing through the system. There are all sorts of things that you need to drain and check and sort of cut off and set before you lose power completely so that you can turn on refrigeration, turn everything back on when you regain power and hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you need to, it becomes a much more onerous process.
Because mm-hmm. blackouts have happened more often than floods.
Right, exactly. We had the blackout. We weren't in that location at the time, but we had the blackout in, I think it was 2003,
mm-hmm.
The New York City blackout, but that didn't last quite as long. And we've had issues from time to time, but we've never had anything quite like this.
Did you have to prepare in both stores? There's one in Grand Central and on Bleecker Street and at the warehouse?
Yeah, so that's a good point. So we've got a restaurant. We have Murray's Cheese Bar. We also have, and that's also on Bleecker Street. We've got the shop in Grand Central. We have our warehouse in Long Island City. So we made different preparations in different places. Our warehouse in Long Island City is relatively high up. I mean, it's on a large foundation up off the ground. Mm-hmm. So we weren't anticipating too many issues there. We've never had any flooding. There aren't a lot of trees around. So we weren't really anticipating power loss or anything like that. Grand Central is generally fairly well protected. If they lost power, we wouldn't really have a lot of options there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no risk of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
What's
the quantity of cheese compared to Bleecker?
At Grand Central or at the warehouse? Well, we've got, I mean, across the whole system, let's say,
mm-hmm.
it's a good number of tons of cheese. It's a lot of cheese.
Right, I'm sure. But is there much less at Grand Central, at least?
There's much less at Grand Central. Grand Central doesn't have a lot of storage space, so mm-hmm. we're constantly sort of refilling, resupplying, replenishing them.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of our stock is at the warehouse and at the Bleecker Street store where we have the caves.
Mm-hmm. And the warehouse is fairly new, so you're actually
It is.
Lucky.
This was a sort of test run. I don't want to spoil the story, but
okay.
We found out exactly how many pallets of cheese we had at Bleecker. It turned out it was quite a few.
Okay, so on to what actually
happened.
Okay, so
the storm rolls in.
Yeah.
I actually rolled in sort of, they shut down the subways on Sunday evening, so we closed the store early to allow our staff to get home. On Monday, the store was closed, the warehouse was closed. I live very close to the warehouse in Greenpoint. So I went in to check up on things, and our store manager decided he would tough it out and actually drove his car in from Queens to Bleecker Street to just stay there in case anything dramatic happened.
Wow. That's not recommended, is
it?
No,
it's not. Not at all. But
you weren't in an evacuation zone.
No, I was in my... neither the warehouse nor the shop were in an evacuation mm-hmm. zone. The warehouse, I believe, is in Zone B officially.
Mm-hmm.
Zone A, I think, was mandatory evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
So the storm comes in. It's Monday. It's very windy, I think, if you remember. It wasn't very rainy.
No, it was a bit disappointing in the rain department.
It was. It was. I'm glad it wasn't as rainy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually decided to go into work, even though I didn't really have to. We also do a lot of importing in addition to our domestic cheese. So Monday happened to coincide. That Monday of the storm was the same day that the major holiday orders were due from abroad. So France doesn't shut down just because our subways don't work, and
right.
we definitely had to get some stuff in there. So I got to work probably around 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon to the warehouse, and Steve is our store manager is at the Bleecker Street store. Things started to pick up. There was some rain. There was some wind. We had heard about some flooding. There was some power flickering, but it was still relatively calm. And I got a call from Time Is Passing, And I time sort of got away from me. I was placing orders and working, listening to music. I had free reign of the place. our general manager, who had been watching the security cameras because he likes to make sure everything is just buttoned down, called me and said, "There's water lapping against the back doors of the warehouse. You should really go home. You should get out of there."
Oh, he wasn't there.
He was offsite. He was at home.
Oh, okay.
So he was able to log in.
Home.
Exactly.
Okay. Was that Frankie?
That was Frankie. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Frankie Good Malek. Old Frankie. Hello to Frankie.
So he, that surprised me because I had seen it gotten dark and windy, but mm-hmm. that's about it. I went and peeked outside and it was a river. And this is on Borden Avenue in Long Island City. It was a river out back, and I peeked out of the front, and the Newton Creek had risen at that point around 20 feet.
Oh, my God.
And it started to overflow the
You were not expecting this.
No, I had no idea that this had happened.
Had you biked?
I had walked morning.
Okay. Thinking walking was safer than biking?
Yeah, I didn't want to bike in the wind. It's hard.
Okay.
It just didn't seem that dire. And then mm-hmm. when I'd seen how... I mean, literally 20 feet it had risen from normal levels above and started to overflow its banks. So I got out of there very quickly around 7:45 p.m. And it turned out later when we were able to watch the cameras slowly click off one by one when they started to get flooded, there were 5 feet of water outside the front door of the warehouse within just another hour.
Wow.
So at the same time at the store,
and this is a safe place.
This is a safe place. It's relatively high. Mm-hmm. I did not anticipate this at all. So I left and I had to wade through waist deep water to get home, about a half mile on the other side of the Greenpoint Bridge. And it was pretty awful.
Were you scared for your life?
I probably should have been.
People do get killed that
Yes,
way.
I mean, I'd heard a lot of, you read these horrible yeah. stories in the New York Times. And
swept away.
Well, swept away or just electrocuted, I think. I had no idea. I'll give you some pictures. Maybe you can post them on the website. But it was unreal.
You were taking pictures with your phone as this was going on.
What else? of course.
It's just to document your death.
What people do now. So the end, of course.
Your phone would have been lost, though.
That's true. At the same time, you could see the transformer explode across the water. So the entire sky lit up.
Oh, right. Yes, that's about that time.
And so at the same time that I was wading through Newton Creek, and I'm sure I'm irradiated and going to die soon, mm-hmm. but it is a Superfund.
You'll have to get a checkup.
I should get a checkup, yeah. At the same time, I guess they lost power at the Bleecker Street store. So Steve ran through his checklist, and we had no idea how serious it was at that point. I don't think anybody did. And made sure that the refrigeration was in a state where it could be reactivated once we got power back. And he camped out there for a while. He walked over to the Hudson River to sort of see where it was at, and he started to see it washing over and flooding the West Side Highway very deeply, and
mm-hmm.
decided to go back to the store because it looked like water might even potentially get to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Wow.
Pretty unbelievable.
Wow. So you went home and...
I went home.
You were safe and
showered.
Sound.
I wasn't sure. At that point, I didn't realize how bad the flooding had gotten at the warehouse. I learned mm-hmm. later that the water, which was at street level when I left, had risen another 4 or 5 feet up almost to our floor of the warehouse. It had flooded. It did end up flooding the basement and filling the entire basement of the warehouse with water.
Mm-hmm.
Where our electrical circuits are, and shorted out. We have three-phase power there, so it shorted out two of the three phases.
Mm-hmm.
I went back on Tuesday morning, and you could walk in and smell that sort of shorted out electrical, mm-hmm. ozone-y, melted plastic smell.
This is what people have said to me over and over, that the hurricane just expanded our concept of what bad things can happen.
Yes.
That we had no idea what flood and electricity was capable of doing.
Absolutely.
But I think at this point we should take a break and we'll move on to the next day.
That's pre-storm and we can follow up with post-storm afterwards.
Okay. Thanks.
You're listening to I Get By by Dead Stars on heritageradionetwork.org. Well,
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back. I'm Diane Stemple, and you're listening to Cutting the Curd on heritageradionetwork.org, and we're about to hear about the day after the storm from Aaron Foster from Murray's Cheese.
Well, thanks for having me again. I think we left off the evening of the storm, and the power had gone out at Bleecker. It had gone out, we learned later, at the warehouse, at least not 100%, but 66% of our power went out. And now it's Tuesday morning. Steve, our store manager, finally went home. I did find his comforter and pillow at the store. He had considered staying when it looked like the water wasn't going to actually come and flood, and we didn't experience any flooding, just the power loss. He knew we could go home, and hopefully, we hoped 12 hours later, we'd get power back, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't really skip a beat. Things would stay cold. That turned out not to happen. If the power outage was a bit longer than we expected. So on Tuesday, I took a ride with Adam Moskowitz, who owns the Larkin Cold Storage Warehouse in Long Island City. We both were very concerned early on Tuesday morning about our warehouses, and they're just really around the corner from each other. So mm-hmm. we took a ride over. We stopped by mine first. We saw that the power was mostly out. The compressors in our refrigerators weren't running. The lights were sort of flickering on and off, which was very sort of confusing. We weren't sure exactly electrically what was going on, but we could smell that burnt plastic ozone electric smell, which told me something was shorted out. Mm-hmm. We went over to Larkin after that, and it seemed like everything was fine. We also saw that the water had gotten so high that it had deformed, and so heavy and forceful that it had deformed our back gates, our loading bay gates.
And deformed.
Just as if a car had driven into them.
Wow.
So they were just knocked in and bent in. And so you could tell that it was, the water had gotten very high.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, later we were able to review the security camera footage, and within an hour of me leaving, the water had risen another 4 to 5 feet. Mm-hmm. So pretty unreal how fast it happened. So on Tuesday afternoon, we were able to reach sort of through phone chain. A lot of our staff was without power at this point. We learned later that some of our staff had very, very serious damage to their homes. We have people whose homes had trees fall on them. We have a person on our staff who lives in Long Beach, which was just terribly affected, and his house was badly, badly affected.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually staying in a hotel in the city until further notice, until they can get their house cleaned up. And
wow.
A lot of people had some serious problems, but to their credit, almost all of our staff came in. Anyone that could make it in by foot, by car, by bike,
mm-hmm.
they came from almost every borough to come help out at Bleecker Street.
That's another thing I've heard from various people in the cheese industry, that people just had Herculean efforts to come save the cheese.
Yeah, everyone was... That's funny. That's we sort of think of their efforts that way. people came from everywhere, and they didn't even ask. They knew that they had to save the cheese.
Right. Right.
And we really, really appreciate that. And I think we didn't know later. We still at that point didn't really know the extent of the devastation and
Or how long it would last.
But it did seem by Tuesday afternoon that the refrigeration was going to be out long enough for us to need to move the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an all hands on deck. Everyone that could show up did show up. I drove our truck in.
Mm-hmm.
From Long Island City.
Had you driven the truck before?
No, but I'm much better at it now. Luckily, there wasn't too much traffic.
Right, but there are no lights either.
No lights. It turns out that New York traffic is much more benign with no lights than with lights. So I drove our truck in, and because we had no power, we had almost no lighting in the caves downstairs. They are caves.
Right, right.
So we ran our lights off the generator, we cracked a few beers,
mm-hmm.
and we started wrapping up, just very diligently and carefully wrapping up all the cheeses in clean boxes and palletized everything, and
mm-hmm.
we had something like 27 pallets by the time all was said and done.
Now, for someone not in the industry, can you give them a guess of how many pounds of cheese 27 pallets is?
Oh, we're probably talking about between 3 and 8 tons of cheese.
Wow.
And meats, charcuterie, things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. We were already resigned to losing our ice cream. I think we drank most of the ice cream.
It was already melted.
Our fresh dairy was obviously gone. We mm-hmm. lost fresh meat, our prepared foods, things like that. But honestly, the swiftness with which our team reacted meant that cheese-wise, we lost very little. It turned out that after all was said and done, we moved the cheese back. We did end up losing a few things that were so fragile mm-hmm. they just didn't take the
did
temperature shifts.
Did you prioritize and leave some fresh cheeses behind?
We tried not to leave anything behind. We weren't sure we would lose them, but we didn't bother with the ice cream or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we approached the fresh cheese first.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbed the fresh goat cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Grabbed the sensitive soft ripened cheeses,
mm-hmm.
the bloomy rinds.
So you tried?
Yes. So it took us probably 12 hours or so. To get all of the cheese and all of the product at least 12 hours together, and we prioritized the stuff that didn't need to be super cold.
Mm-hmm.
We prioritized that second and did the fresh cheese first.
The hearty big wheels.
Exactly. Your Parmigiano Reggiano, mm-hmm. your Uplands Pleasant Ridge, things like that, your Gruyères, your Emmentalers, things that are totally fine, happy at room temperature. We,
mm-hmm.
Same thing with prosciuttos and things like that. So we moved it back to... We palletized it, but because we were still working on getting full power at our warehouse, we moved it to Larkin.
Mm-hmm.
Adam very graciously opened his warehouse to our 27 pallets.
And he had room.
Mm-hmm. Well, he made room. He was extraordinarily generous and helpful. He stayed up late. He let us in at 8 or 9 p.m. on one night, and then again early in the morning the next day. And then we didn't want to overstay our welcome, so... We worked with some very creative electricians to actually drill a hole through the wall to our neighbors at our warehouse,
mm-hmm.
and run our compressors, run electricity directly from their electrical box.
They had more power.
They had power. Their boxes were above street level and ours mm-hmm. were below, and mm-hmm. because ours were below, they got flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran our compressors directly from their boxes. So we had
almost, so then you could move your cheese back to the warehouse.
Exactly. We had no lights and very few computers and servers, but we did have refrigeration.
Okay.
And that's the important thing, mm-hmm. because we also had another probably close to 20 tons of product at the warehouse that we needed to take care of.
Right, right.
Well,
Adam Moskowitz from Larkin is the one who coined the phrase that I thought should be the title for this show, which was "Nobody Abandoned the Cheese."
No cheese left behind. I like that.
Because he seemed quite, dedicated to helping as many people as he could save their cheese.
Adam is sort of the Don of mm-hmm. the New York cheese community, and he was very... We're very, very grateful to him for his help.
And for the small cheese shops, Lucy's Way and Beecher's Cheese, FMA and Brad Dubay, kind of stepped up and helped them save their cheese.
Yes, I'm told Brad was extraordinarily lucky.
He did not lose power.
He's in Greenpoint, really on the walk right between my house and our warehouse. Uh-huh. And knowing how deep the water was up to my waist, right just 3 blocks from him, he said he was surrounded on all sides by high water. And,
right.
I guess his elevation was just high enough to to keep him in power and keep him unflooded. So,
well, he feels he's so near that power station that he's in good stead.
That makes sense.
That weird-looking power station.
That monstrosity there. Yes. So we were able to then move our cheese over to from Larkin to our warehouse again once we got refrigeration restored.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately began trying to take orders because we had customers above 34th Street. Have you heard this new neighborhood, SoPo?
No.
South of Power. so we had many, many customers in NoPo that were
wanting,
looking for...
Yes, wanting cheese.
They were experiencing boom times, whereas it was...
Their friends were coming for dinner from SoPo.
Yes, and it was dark and desolate and dangerous below Power.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked very hard to actually fulfill orders... in a very manual way, but get everybody cheese that we could.
No internet.
Spotty internet, spotty computer power, no servers. All of our normal systems were out the window.
I think that's another part people weren't prepared for, the devastation to communication.
Yes, it made it very, very difficult. Email, phones, servers, computers, things that we take for granted, and I know that you shouldn't let a computer come between you and your cheese, but... when you're trying to service a lot of different customers, when you're trying to get a lot of folks cheese as expediently as possible, computers help.
Right.
And
we all rely on them.
That's true. But everyone joined in and cut cheese, delivered cheese. We sent our COO up to Connecticut for gas with our truck. He came back with a truck full of gas cans. Not very safe, but that was how we were able to continue
to
doing
power
business.
Exactly.
Truck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our generators and everything. Mm-hmm. And then just the other day, someone must have called in a Con Ed emergency fire on our block. They came and couldn't find the fire, but we were able to cajole and convince them to stay and help us get full power to our warehouse, which they were able to do.
Great.
They ran direct lines from the street into our basement. So we were able to get full power back much farther ahead than the 3 weeks they had initially told us. And we were able to conduct business again. When power was restored to Bleecker Street on Sunday morning, the previous Sunday morning, again, it was an all hands on deck. We didn't have to beg anyone or incentivize them or strong arm them. Everyone was let's get back into it. We want to sell some cheese.
We want to work.
We want to work. Exactly.
We want things to go back to normal.
Yes, we're all struggling for some semblance
of feeling
normalcy. It's not quite there yet, but we're almost there. So they worked very hard to move the cheese again. This is now the third move. So from Bleecker to Larkin, from Larkin to Borden, and from Borden back to Bleecker, and send back all of the cheese.
Very
back
well there. Traveled cheese you have.
Yeah, and by that's right. It's traveled across the ocean and then all, to every borough in New York City. And by the end of really, it was maybe 6 hours from the time we got power, and then we opened the store at 1 p.m. and we had the store fully set again. We were missing ice cream and fresh milk, but everything else was there.
Great.
We had a great day. It was really neat.
I'm sure the customers were delighted to have you back.
There was a line down the block. There was, as soon as we opened, they were there for their cheese.
Yay, cheese.
Yes, we need our fix.
Well, cheese is very good in a hurricane because it doesn't go bad.
It's true. It's relatively
stable. You want it
stable.
In your refrigerator.
I subsisted on some, that's for sure.
Anyway, just to sum up, can you tell me what, either good or bad or one of both, what surprised you the most about this whole experience?
I think New York definitely came together. It's funny, everyone was supportive of one another. People were calling, checking in on neighbors, checking in on relatives. People were willing to, it was amazing how willing people were to say, you know what, there's a tree on my house, I don't have power, and we still have staff without power. But I'm gonna go in, and I know that we have this community, this work community, but this community that we're all a part of, and let's work to get it back up and running. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of our staff are volunteering in places that are really
taking
a hit.
More hard hit.
Yes, Red mm-hmm. Hook, the Rockaways, mm-hmm. Long Beach, obviously. We've made a donation to the food bank in New York City, and we encourage everyone to make donations to the relief efforts or volunteer, because there are people that are still without power. Mm-hmm. I have friends that are in really hard hit Red Hook. And we've heard a lot of our partners are just really in trouble, so we're trying to help them wherever we can, people that we work with. Mm-hmm. Some of our suppliers are still in deep trouble.
Yeah, depending on where you were and what happened, it can be a lot more devastating.
Yes. We were, I think, by and large, though we lost power and had a lot of work ahead of us, it was relatively, I don't want to say benign, but mm-hmm. we were impacted less than some.
We survived.
Exactly.
Right. You and the cheese.
Yes. So I know that others didn't get out mm-hmm. quite so well. And we're just pulling for them.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. You're my first guest on Cutting the Curd as Ann's substitute.
I wish you luck during your tenure.
Thank you very much. Let me see. What am I supposed to say now? Okay, that's all the time we have.
Great. Thanks
we're
very
out
much
of time,
for having me.
And thank you. You can always find an archived episode of Cutting the Curd on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. And I'll see you next week. Next week, I will be interviewing two or three of the newly minted certified cheese professionals on Cutting the Curd. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.